Welcome, everybody. I think everyone who gives a shiur either chooses or is afraid to give a shiur on a timely topic. Listening to the radio this week, and the way here, actually, I think, couldn't get more timely than this. What I want to do, the title of the shiur, obviously, is Yeshiva Bochurim and the Draft. And what I want to do is really discuss the sugya. And not necessarily discuss how it practically applies. Everyone can make their own conclusions. And that's for various reasons. Reason number one is that even though the Torah might imply that Yeshiva Bachar should be drafted, should not be drafted, you always have to look at the situation. What do I mean? For example, the Birka Shmuel, in one of his letters, mentioned when trying to dissuade people from going to university, and that was obviously university of the 1900s, and he mentioned that once a family in Brisk came to Reb Chaim of Ashayla, and they asked Reb Chaim that their son is either going to go to the army or go to university. Where should he go? Reb Chaim says better he should go to the army, where his life would be in danger. So from there, everyone tried to point out that a person should stay as far away from university as possible. And I remember my father speaking about it many years ago, and my father said, he said, he had a cousin, Dr. Soloveitchik, who was a very famous doctor, who was actually encouraged by Reb Chaim to go to medical school, to go to university. They explained that this situation, this boy from Brisk, was a person who was actually trying to run away. He was trying to run away from his family, from the influence of Brisk. And for that type of boy, Reb Chaim felt, army is better than university. But, you know, in a regular situation, Reb Chaim would not have said that. So again, whatever we say in terms of the sugya itself, it's important to understand that there are many other considerations. For example, does the army need everybody? Does the army want certain people? So that's why what we're going to be speaking about, we're speaking about the sugya itself, and then once we understand the sugya, so we can at least understand the halacha behind it. The second reason is that even if we do say that a Talmud Chacham is patur from the draft, a major question, which I'm not going to discuss today, that would entail a shiur by itself, is how you magdir, how do you categorize a Talmud Chacham? What is a Talmud Chacham? So in Siman Reish Mem Gimel in Yoredeya, we're discussing that Talmud Chacham are patur from taxes. So the Mechaber describes a Talmud Chacham, someone who's Toroso v'munoso, which means that his whole life is Torah. And he has to spend an hour or two to make a living every day, but as soon as he's finished, he's back to his books. The Ramah goes on, Ramah says that what is a Talmud Chacham? It's Potter, who's Muchzuk, le Talmud Chacham Bedoro. He's considered a Talmud Chacham of his generation, Shiodeya, he knows how to speak in all the Sugyos, Rov Mekomos Bishas, in the Perushim, the Rishonim, the Viskei Agaonim. And then he says, but in our door, as long as you're Muchzuk, le Talmud Chacham. So, now just because someone is learning in Yeshiva, is that Magder him? Is he now described as a Talmud Chacham? I heard once, many years ago, an Avrechim Kol asked a discipler, he was on Ben Azmanim, and he wanted to know how much he learned during Ben Azmanim. How much he learned during Ben Azmanim? So the discipler said, well, the Rambam, when he discusses what a regular Balabayas should do, says that basically a regular Balabayas works 3 hours a day and learns 9 hours a day. So an Avrech who's on vacation, you know, someone in Kolel, in Ben Azmanim, he should learn 9 hours a day. So if you think that's what a person who's on vacation or a balabais, so that means someone learns 10 or 11 hours a day already now, becomes a Talmud Chacham and is excused from the draft. So that's another question we have to really ask, and I'm not going to get into that. So the topic of the shiur today is just, if someone is learning in yeshiva, and you know, someone's sitting at a Talmud Chacham, I should say, does that free him from the draft? The third point before I begin is that this is obviously amongst many circles a very passionate subject, very emotional. People's emotions get heated up from both ends, and I think what's important whenever you have a sugya, you have to look and see what the halacha is. What's the halacha? What does the Torah say? And you know, people will quote, well, in the beginning of Parshas Bechukosai, Rashi speaks, if we learn Torah, all our problems will be solved. All problems will be solved. You know, it's true, Mirz Hashem, when Mashiach comes, and we're in the eschatological era, everything will be solved. At this point, unfortunately, we haven't reached there just yet. And we're in the Olam Ha'asiyah. We have to really listen to the Torah, learn the Torah, in order to understand what the Torah tells us to do. So in order to begin, we're going to be starting with discussion on Muhammad. So when the question comes up, should everyone go to the draft? So without looking into the sugya, initial reaction should be, of course everyone should be drafted, because defending Eretz Yisrael from enemies is a Mechemes Mitzvah. And we know, as we'll see, that when there's a Mechemes Mitzvah, Hakol Yotzim, everyone goes out to Mechemes Mitzvah. Now, that comparison to the war, our status now in Eretz Yisrael and to Mechemes Mitzvah, is not that strong. Why? It certainly is similar to Mechemes Mitzvah. But many Rishonim say, in order for Mechama to have a Mechemes Mitzvah, you need an Urim Betumim. The Ramban says that. If you look at the very end of the Rambam and Sefer HaMitzvos, he lists those mitzvos that are not noeg bizman hazeh. And they're obviously korbanot. And there he mentions, according to the nusach, of the old nusach of Sefer HaMitzvos, that Mechemes Rishus is not noeg bizman hazeh. You need a melech. However, according to that girsa, that would mean that Mechemes Mitzvah is noeg bizman hazeh. However, Reb Chaim Heller, and in the Frankel Rambam, I haven't had a chance to check Rav Kapach, but probably the same thing. In their gears, the Rambam is saying even a Mechemes Mitzvah is not noeg bizman hazeh. So to have an actual Mechemes Mitzvah, which means, let's say during a time of Mechama, there are certain halachas that kick in. There might be halacha yifas toar. There's a halacha when you're actually b'shas mochama. There's an open heter according to certain rishon to eat treifas. So that wouldn't apply today. However, certainly the wars that the Israelis have been involved in, certainly our status now, we have to protect ourselves, is very similar to Mechemes Mitzvah, not to Mechemes Rishus. So whatever the Torah suggests about Mechemes Mitzvah, even though it's not an exact comparison, we can actually try to compare it to our situation and understand how we should view the status of all Jews in as far as the draft is concerned today. So just as a little introduction, the Gemara Maseches Sota discusses those who are patur from Mechama. And the Torah tells us that someone who, you know, just planted a vineyard and not consecrate it yet, someone who was aras isha and the betrothed lady but did not consummate the marriage yet, and the Gemara isha yara rachaleva, someone who's afraid to go to war, are all patur from Mechama. And the Gemara says, Maseches Sota, daf mem dal amud beis, that that's all by Mechemes Rishus. Al Mechemes Mitzvah, when it comes to Mechemes Mitzvah, Hakol Yotzin, everyone goes out. Afilu Chasim Yechedra V'Kal Mechubasa, even a Chasim who just got married, so he's allowed, he has to leave his chuppah to go to his room to go to the battlefront, and a Kala also. And the Mefarshim point out that a kala does not necessarily go out to wage the war, because nashim lav venos mochama, nashim do not engage in war. However, Mefarshim point out there are other tasks that ladies can do in terms of behind the scenes, but not actually going out to the battlefront. That's the Gemara. So what is the Masoch? But the Gemara is clear that a Mechemes Mitzvah hakol yotzin, and there are no exceptions. Hakol yotzin. So then, what is a Mechemes Mitzvah? So the Rambam in Perek Hey of Hilchos Melacha Aleph tells us a Mechemes Mitzvah is obviously any Mechama the Torah tells us to be involved in. And what Mechama does the Torah tell us, instruct us to be involved in? There's the Mechama, of course, of the Shiva Amamin, a Mechama to conquer Eretz Yisrael against the Canaanim, I should say. Then there's Mechemes Amalek. And then the Rambam adds a third category. And what's that third category? The Ezras Yisrael Miyatzar Shabu Aleihem. The Rambam says that another type of Mechemes Mitzvah is when an enemy invades the land of Israel and we are coming to defend ourselves against that enemy, that is a Mechemes Mitzvah. Okay. Now, where is the source, even though logic would dictate that that is a Mechama, that's a Mechemes Mitzvah? Where does the Torah tell us that you should fight a Mechama like that? We speak about a war against the Canaanim. We speak about starting a war. But where do we find a war when someone else invades our country? So that would have to be from Parshas Matos.
Parshas Matos and B'midah Perachafei Pasuk Yud Zayin. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Tzoris HaMidyanim V'kisim Osam. You have to attack Midyanim. Why? Because they attacked you. They harassed you. They wanted to destroy you, so you have to attack them. And the Medrash Tanchuma mentions a Chazal in source number 4 that Tzoris and Midyanim. Lama kitzarim lachem mikan amru chachamim avola harhacha hashkim lahargo. If someone wants to go ahead and is trying to kill you, so then you are allowed to fight back. Now my father asked the question that this Raron Soloveitchik asked the question. This is not the only source for havola harhacha hashkim lahargo. There's another source. What's the other source for havola harhacha hashkim lahargo? The other source is machteres. If someone breaks into your house at night, you're allowed to fight back because he could possibly try to kill you. And Chacham there also say habala harcha hashkei mahargo. So my father explained what's the difference. Why do we need two sources in the Torah for habala harcha hashkei mahargo? So my father explained that we're talking sometimes about an individual. That sometimes individual might attack me, an individual, and therefore I'm allowed to fight back and defend myself, even at the expense of his life. And then sometimes we're talking about when a group is trying to attack. And when a group is trying to attack, if I try to protect myself by only killing the person who's attacking me, but I don't try to go after the rest of the group, I might be killed in the process. And the best example of this would be is then when you would have terrorists who are hiding behind, supposedly, this is an example my father gave, innocent civilians, and even they're all part of the same group. So therefore there is a halacha that of avala hargacha on an individual level, and avala hargacha on a group level. So and we see that the Mechilta really underscores this point, that when a group comes to attack you, someone who's part of a group, and the group is attacking you, even those from the group that are not involved, if you must defend yourself by killing other members of the group, then it would be okay. The Mechilta says, "Vayikah sheish meos recha bachur." So when the Jews left Mitzrayim, and Paro was chasing the Jews, so he took sheish meos recha bachur. So the Mechilta asks, "Where did Paro get all these animals from?" Mishel mihayu abehemot. He says, "Where did Paro get all these animals from? After all, they all died in the makkah of Deber. They all died in Mach of Deber. They all died in Mach of Deber." She says, "So where did they all get it from? And if you want to tell me that they got it from the Jews took all their animals with them." The Mechilta says, "Where did they get it from? Because in the Mach of Deber, only those animals that were outside were killed. And therefore, Kol Hayareyas Hashem, any Mitzri who feared God, what he would do is he would go ahead and he would put his animal into the barn, into the house, whatever they had. So what do we see? That even those who feared HaKadosh Baruch Hu ended up aiding Paro to hurt the Jews, to chase the Jews. So at the very end of Mechilta, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says an amazing statement, Mikan Hayir Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Omer, Tov Shebegoyim Harog, the best of Gentiles, you should kill. Now obviously that can't be taken literally. I think this was one of the in the Vikuchim of the Bali Tosis. This is one of the ta'anot that some of the Christian scholars raised against the Jews. That how can you say Tov Shevagoyim Harog? So Rabbeinu Bechaye and other Rishonim explain what does it mean. If you look at Rabbeinu Bechaye, he says that Tov Shevagoyim Harog. But what does that mean? The very end, Tov Shevamitzrim Harog B'Shas Muhammad. A time of war, if because you're defending yourself, you might have to kill somebody who's not necessarily attacking you, but he's part of enemy nation, you are allowed to save yourself. You know, you don't have to, you're allowed to save yourself, even if it's going to cause other people to be killed. That's what the Gemara says. And this is learned out from Tzoris and Midyanim, that when a group attacks me, I can defend myself by attacking the whole group. That is the, Rabbeinu Bechaye, Tzoris and Midyanim. So Kadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu that since the Midyanim tried to attack you, tried to harass you, tried to destroy you, Soros the Midyanim, you have to fight back. And fighting back, this is a Mechemes Mitzvah, as the Rambam points out. Now, as I said, a Mechemes Mitzvah might be only a Rum V'tumim, only when there's a Melech. And Moshe Rabbeinu was a melech. Yeshua was considered a melech. So, but now Vizmanenu, we don't have a melech. However, that being said, it's interesting that if you look at the pasuk Tzoras in Midyanim, V'kisem Osam is in Lashon Rabim, and Vetzoror is Lashon Yochid. Why? Because sometimes we're fighting a war where we're all the Rabim, that's with the Melech. Sometimes it's Tzoror, it's a little different. We're coming as a group, but we're really sort of all individuals also. However, even though, according to many Rishonim, it's difficult to say that we have Melchemes Mitzvah today, but certainly we can learn from Melchemes Mitzvah in the days of the Tanakh. And since in the days of Tanakh, when you had a Melchemes Mitzvah, everyone went out, and it seems that there were no exceptions. If you look at the Gemara, you look at the Rambam, discussing Melchemes Mitzvah, there were no exceptions. That would seem that when there is a draft, and obviously the draft today is in order to make sure Israel is prepared in case, God forbid, we are attacked. It seems everyone should be included in the draft. Okay, without looking into the sugya, when the whole discussion came up this year, election time, that was what I first thought. However, there definitely is other opinions who want to say, no, Yeshiva Bachram Tam Decham Patra from the draft. So what I'd like to do right now is to bring the raya, the proofs that they bring. So the first proof is from Sefer Bamidbar. And Sefer Bamidbar, Parshat Bamidbar, Perek Aleph, the Torah tells us that the Levim weren't counted. Amongst the Jews. Perek Aleph, Pasuk Zayin, Levim Lemate, Avotam Lo Hitpaktu, B'tocham, the Levim should not be counted. And then again, in Pasuk Memtes, Achiv Matle Tifko, Des Roshon Tisav, Etzoch B'nei Yisrael. And the Mefarshim discuss why were the Levim counted. So the Rashbam, in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Mem Zayin, source number 9, he says very simply, he says, HaMefarsh Tam Ki Lo Yelchu B'Tzva Melchama, El Hafkeit Levim Al Mishkan Eidus. The reason they weren't counted was because you only counted those people who went to war. So the Rashbam says clearly that They didn't go to war. The Levim did not go to war. And therefore, if the Levim did not go to war, as we'll see, we can compare it Hamecham to Levim, and therefore maybe Hamecham should not go to war either. That being said, the Rashbam, as we know, Kedarko Bakodesh, he always explained things Lefi Pshat, not Lefi necessarily what Chazal said, according to what Chazal said. However, the Ramban also does not say it as explicitly as the Rashbam. But if you look at the Ramban, source number 8, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Mem Zayin, see, he says, Moshe Rabbeinu did not count Levim. Ramban is concerned why it says in Pasuk Mem Zayin they weren't counted, and then in Pasuk Mem Tes, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, don't count the Levim. So the Ramban says, the reason is because, first Moshe thought not to count the Levim because the Levim did not have a Nasi. And he only counted the Shvatim together with the Nesim. So since the Levim did not have a real Nasi, they had an Aaron HaKohen, so therefore they shouldn't be counted. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, no, they should be counted by themselves. Why? Because since they're in charge of the Mishkan HaEdus, they should be counted by themselves. So it could be the Ramban is saying that the Levim did go to war, were in the army. However, even though they went to the army, but since they had the sole responsibility to march the Mishkan, they weren't counted. Or you can say no. The Ramban is implying the same thing as the Rashbam, that since they were in charge of the Mishkan, they didn't go to war. The Rava won the Bali Tosfos.
You can see that they didn't go when they took it
to Rav Midian. We're going to talk about that. We'll get to that. So he says. So the Rava. He also says that why is it that they weren't counted? Gives various interpretations. Number one, because the HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that anyone who was counted would die in the Midbar, so he didn't want the Levim to be included in that. And the Rivaim himself says he says that they were the people that they were the Shomri HaKalim. He says. So therefore, since they watched the Mishkan, they weren't counted. Okay, so according to Pashup Shat and the Pasuk, according to Rashbam, certainly maybe according to Ramban, so Levim did not have to go to the army. However, if you look in Parshas Matos, Elif Lamata, Elif Mata, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as a Saras or Midyanim, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told or instructed Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu, that they have to fight a war against Amis, against Midyan, so it says, Elif Lamata, Elif Lamata, L'chol Matos Yisrael, Tishlechu Latzava. So Chazal were very much disturbed. Why does it say, in the next pasuk, it says actually Shneima says, why Elif Lamata, Elif Lamata? Why does it say L'chol Matos Yisrael? So the Kiva Omer Elif Lamata Lamata Shneima or Elif. The next pasuk says 12,000. Ma Tamol L'chol Matos Yisrael Tishlechu Latzava Lahavi Yeshipto Shalevi. That even Sheva Levi went to war. And Rashi mentions the same girsa in the Paragon of Pasuk Dawud, the Rabbo Shevet Levi, that even Shevet Levi went. The Forshim on Rashi asked, well, if it's 12,000 people and even Shevet Levi went, we have a problem. What's the problem? The problem is that if we include Shevet Levi, there weren't 12 Shvatim, there were actually 13 Shvatim. So he, I think the Urayim explains that in regard to this, Ephraim and Manasseh were counted as one. That's the explanation. Ephraim and Manasseh were counted as one shevet for this. But from Rashi we see the Levium definitely went to Muhammad. The Gra has a different girsa. I've heard the Gra, I've seen the Gra, but I couldn't find it. But the Gra's girsa is not Laravo Shevet Levi, but Lahotzi. Lahotzi. So, and according to the Gra, everything works very well because it's 12,000, including Ephraim Menashe, and Shevet Levi is not included. So we have Machlokas HaGirsos. What is the Rambam's Girsa? So, for those who want to suggest that everyone has to go to war, the Rambam is the first major difficulty. The Rambam says in Hilchas Shmita V'Yovel, and I want to point out, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein pointed this out, is that to discuss halachas of who goes to war, really it belongs in Hilchas Malachim. Not in Hilchas Shmita V'Yovel. Hilchas Shmita V'Yovel, the Rambam discusses halachas of Levim, and the Rambam says v'lama halacha yabeis v'lama lo zocha Levi v'nachas Eretz Yisrael u'bisasa. Why was Shevet Levi not zocha to inheritance of Eretz Yisrael and the biza the booty im echav and brothers in neishul huvdal? They were separated l'avod Hashem l'shorso to serve Hashem l'horis drachov hayisharim mishpat v'tzadikim l'ravim. They were set aside to teach the Torah, to serve God. Shenemar Yom Zecha Yachos Rosh Yisrael Leficha Chuvdelu Midarkei Olam. They were set aside from the Darkei Olam Lo Orchin Melchama Kishar Yisrael. They don't get involved in war like other Jews, and this is very important. So the Rambam here clearly says Shevet Levi did not go to war. And even though the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim says everyone goes out to Melchemes Mitzvah, and he doesn't mention any exceptions, and the truth is the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim also says that, let's say, for example, speaks about an almana, you know, if a Kohen married a Grusha, so they can be Choser for Melchama, so it's mashma that a Kohen did go to war. But Rambam here says Levim were not Orech Melchama Kishor Yisrael. However, I want, if you're medayik in the Rambam says lo orchem mocham kishor Yisrael velo nochlin velo zochin laatzma koach gufan. So the Rambam doesn't. Rambam adds the words kishor Yisrael. He should have said velo orchem mocham, but he adds the words kishor Yisrael. So we have to understand what that means. We'll come back to that. What does that mean, kishor Yisrael? Okay, so that's the Gar Shevet Levi. So then, if you look at Loch Yud Gimel, the Rambam goes on. Below Shevet Levi v'levad, not only Shevet Levi, elakol ish v'ish mikol boya olam, any Jew from anywhere in the world, asher not varucho oso, that, you know, his spirit pushes him, ve'vino madoli v'adol amad Hashem, and he decides he wants to stand off, to stand before Hashem, be separate, l'sharso, l'avdo, l'deas Hashem, to serve him, to know God, v'halach yashar k'mo sharso l'akim. And what he does is he's porek from all, you know, any issues of this world. He's not concerned about money. He's not concerned about what kind of house he has. He just wants to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hareiz in his kadosh kol roshem v'yeh Hashem chelcha nachsol ol olamim v'yiskel lo b'mazeh dover ha-maspik lo. And it'll be kamosh zochol kohanim v'levim. So the Rambam says anybody who wants to be like Shevet Levi. And by the way, the Rambam doesn't say any Jew. He says, kol ish v'ish, mikol boya olam, even any Gentile. But the Rambam says, he said, anyone who wants to be like Shevet Levi, can be like Shevet Levi. So this is one proof that we see since Levian weren't Arech Mochama, and anybody who wants to be like Shevet Levi, can be like Shevet Levi. So that means if you're Talmud Chacham, you're popped up from the draft. The only problem is that let's assume that Shevet Levi was popped up from going to the army. Let's assume. And as I said, it's very difficult because in Hilchos Melachim, the place where it should be discussed, the Rambam does not mention that Ptur. But let's assume for a second, but the Rambam is only, this Rambam is not saying that that Heter, that Ptur, would apply to other Jews. The Rambam just says that a soul wants to serve Hashem and set himself aside, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of him. He doesn't say anything else. It's all the Rambam says. It could be if there is a Ptur, and maybe it's based on what happened in Midyan, and the Rambam has the girsa of the Gra, Lahotzi a Shevet Levi, but that's Shevet Levi. That's not Talmud Chacham in general. How come? Because it's a special tour of Shevet Levi. The Rambam just says that Shevet Levi, if a regular Jew or a regular person, a regular human being, wants to set himself aside to serve Hashem, to sit in solitude and serve Hashem, so he says, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of him. That's all the Rambam says. He doesn't say you're Potter. So from this Rambam, there might be a diyuk that maybe Shevet Levi is Potter from going to war, but not necessarily Talmud Chachamim. All right, now, a second proof, a second raya, comes from Maseches Nedarim, a very famous Gemara. Amar Rav Avuah, Amar Rav Elazar. We'll come back to the Rambam, Al-Hachi Yudbeis, about Shevet Levi, that they didn't have to go to war. Amar Rav Avuah, Amar Rav Elazar. Mimneina nenash Avram Avinu. Why was Avram Avinu punished? That he wasn't, he was told his children would be slaves in Mitzrayim. So the Gemara gives three answers. And the first answer is, that what is the Amin? So Ran points out that what he did was, is he went ahead and it took them to war. In other words, when Abram had to go save Lot, and he needed to find people to help him, who did he arm? Talmud Chachamim. And because the Ran says, okay, so from there we see that Avram was punished because he took Talmidei Chachamim to war. So it seems clear from this Gemara, it's not the proper approach to draft Talmidei Chachamim in the army. Because we see what happened to Avram Avinu. The question is does Angaria really mean that? Does Angaria really mean that you made them be a regular soldier? If you look at the Shittim of Etzes, it says, in other words, that what happened, that he didn't pay them, he didn't give them the proper kavod. And the truth is, that we'll see a little bit later, what Angaria means is you could put someone to fight a battle, but you don't have to give him necessarily a position that meets his honor. In other words, you know, they're different duties people have at war when they're in battle, right? And sometimes it's important to give certain people, if they're capable, the duty which fits their kavod, which their honor deserves. And what Angaria means is that maybe what it means is that he made them, as Shita says, he didn't give them money. Also, he didn't give them necessarily the proper kavod they deserve. Yeah, he had to fight a war. He had to save Lot. But maybe he should have given them more kavod, more honor. In other words, so based on that, you know, I think we would say that if we're mechabed soldiers, right, which I think a lot of the tzibur is, I think they say, in the shame of my uncle, I'm not sure, that it's a person, there's no problem with a person, with a soldier davening in his fatigues, because these are his big day kodesh, or mechavadem. And so that's one idea, is that, as Ashita says, or Angaria means, not going to war is the problem. The problem was, is he gave them a duty in war which is beneath their dignity. But however, Angaria doesn't necessarily have to mean that he sent them to war. Angaria can mean that he gave them work to do, that, as I said, that didn't fit their kavod. The Karen Ore asked the question. What?
Should have made them all captains,
whatever it was. But so and the third, and I would also point out that this is not the only answer in the Gemara. The Gemara gives other answers why Avram was punished. Avram was punished because he kept questioning the Kadosh Baruch Hu. How do I know that my descendants will inherit the land? And the third answer is that Rav Yochanan says he didn't let people come tachas kampa yashchina. What happened? He went ahead and when the Melech Sodom wanted to give him something, he says, you, listen, he says, Tainli anefesh for a chush kachloch. He could have basically been makar of more people. That's so there are different answers of what happened. So the answer of Rav Avua is because he drafted Talmud Chachamim, that's not the only answer. So that's one way to deal with the Gemara. And again, the reason why is because it's very difficult to say that Talmud Chachamim are Potter when the Gemara is to deal with Melchemes Mitzvah, no one mentions Talmud Chachamim are Potter. There's another Gemara. So, as I said, Anguria might not mean to draft to war. Anguria might mean having them do a job that is beneath their dignity. All right, where do we see this from? It's Gemara Maseches Yuma. Gemara Maseches Yuma discusses that anyone after 120 years comes to Shemayim and Hashem says, why don't you do mitzvahs? Why didn't you learn? And any excuse you're going to have, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will tell us, how about this person? And let's say, for example, obviously, if someone says, I was too poor, say, what about Hillel? Hillel was poor and he still learned. So Gemara asks, Maseches Yuma, Daf Lamanei Mabeis, someone who's rich. He says, I was so busy in all my business acquisitions, I didn't have time to learn. So he says, well, you're busy, you're more wealthy than Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar ben Charsum, his father left him 1,000 cities by Yavasha and 1,000 Svinos by Yom. And every day he would take a little food with him, a little sandwich, and go from city to city to learn Torah. He didn't want to be involved. He didn't want to be disturbed by all his wealth. And one time his servants saw him, and the servants didn't know who he was. If you look at the third line, V'asubo Angaria, they did with him Angaria. What Agari here doesn't mean they send it to a draft to fight a war. They made him work. See, he says, leave me alone. I want to go learn Torah. See, he says, we see the word Angaria does not mean necessarily, based on the Gemara, does not mean going to war. It means doing a task which is beneath your dignity. So even if you want to say, Sha'as Angaria, he sent them to war, as the Ran says, in order to understand this Gemara, in compliance with the fact that everyone's Mechavas Mitzvah, what we could say is that Gemara is referring to sending him out, according to the Ran, sending him out to do a duty at the battlefield beneath his dignity, as the Gemara explains on Garia is in regard to Lazim and Charsum. So that's how we would deal with that Gemara. And then there's another Gemara, a similar Gemara, Mesech Sotat Yonah Aleph, that Asa, who was actually one of the more righteous kings of Malchus Yehuda. So at the end of his life, He became sick. He had a problem with his legs. So the Gemara asks, again, the same idea. So we see, he says, and what's Angaria? So here Rashi says, Angaria doesn't mean going to war. Angaria means Avodas HaMelech. He put him into the service of the king, not to war. You know, maybe to make roads. So the... And maybe to make roads. And the Gemara goes on. He sent out Talmid Chachamim and even a Chasna Mechedra, a Kal Mechupaso. So the Marsha number 22 asks the question: well, how could he do that? How could he have a Kal and a Chasna go out? And Marsha says he only did it because of Mechemes Rishus. Because the Mechemes Mitzvah wouldn't have been a taina. Why? Because Mechemes Mitzvah, everyone goes to war. So this Gemara will not be a proof either. All right. So far everything we've seen are all what. I would hate to refer it to as that, but these are all Gemaras that are really Agadata. Are Gemaras that are based on Agadata and not Halacha Gemaras. However, there's Gemara Masechet Bava Basra, and Gemara Masechet Bava Basra actually does deal with Halacha, and that Gemara says like this. Gemara is discussing that when you build a wall around the city, and obviously, you know, in the days of the Gemara, a wall was very important for security. As today, it's probably very important for security also, fences. And we'll see, a similar Shiloh came up. And what happened was, is that the Gemara says, everyone in the city has to pay for the cost of building the wall, but Talmid Chachamim don't have to pay for the cost of building the wall. Why? Because Talmid Chachamim don't need Shmirah. They don't need Shmirah. So, Gemara says, Rav Nachman Bar Chista, I'm sorry, in Bar Basha of Zion of the Bays, number 23, Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya put a tax on the Rabbanim to pay for the wall. So Amar Rosh Lashon says, no, Rabbanim lo tzricha l'tirusa. Rabbanim don't need to be watched. We don't need shmirah. Why? He quotes the pasuk, "Asapring michol yerbon." So I'm going to count you. You're more numerous than the sand. So the Gemara asks, who's more numerous than the sand? Tamnei Chachamim. Tamnei Chachamim. They're not. They can't be more numerous than the sand because all the Jews themselves are more numerous than the sand. So how could Tamnei Chachamim? But what it means is just like the sand protects the land from being overtaken by water. So Tamnei Chachamim also. The Tamnei Chachamim will also go ahead and protect the everyone else. He says, actually, protect themselves. They protect themselves. So they protect themselves. So so based on that, we see Tamnei Chachamim don't need shmira. So therefore, if we're fighting a war, we're fighting a war. So why should Tamnei Chachamim have to go fight in the army? The army's for everybody else because Tamnei Chachamim themselves, you know, we protected. Which historically isn't correct because we know, unfortunately, many times that there were many times the Jews were attacked, whether it was during the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni or many times afterwards. And we know many Gedolei Yisrael were killed. But in terms of building a wall, so they were putter. Now, what does it mean they were putter? So they're only putter if they believe their Torah is really protecting them. I heard that when Avraham Lichtenstein Shlita moved, he used to live in this area in Yerushalayim, and he moved to Alon Shavut. So they have there that you have to either have Torah Nut to do Shemirah, or you have to pay for someone to fill your place. And because he's a Talmud Chacham, because you know there's no shaila about that, so they offered that he should be free from paying for. Obviously, he wasn't going to do Torah Nut, but he should be free from paying for a Shomer to take his place. And he refused. He said, "Why?" Because he said, it only protects you if you believe it protects you. But I lock my door at night. And you know, I lock my door at night. I'm not confident that my Torah doesn't protect me. So in other words, we're talking a situation where, you know, you feel a Torah doesn't protect you. But if you feel a Torah is not going to protect you for whatever reason, then you're chayav like everybody else. So, I hate to use this example, but if you, for example, have a yeshiva in a certain area which is being bombarded with missiles, and you move the yeshiva because you're afraid, that means you believe the Torah is not protecting you for whatever reason. So this Gemara only applies to people who actually believe the Torah is going to protect them. And then there's another Gemara, the next Amud, Dav Ches Amud Aleph, very similar. Rav Nachum bar Rav Chista Rama Kargo Rabbanan. Rav Nachum bar Rav Chista placed a tax on the Rabbanan. So Rav Nachum bar Yitzchak said to Nachum bar Chista, Avarta di Araisa, Vanevi Vadiksuva, you violated many, many psukim in the Torah. You violated psukim in the Neviim, in the Ksuvim. And I'll just mention the pasuk in the Torah because the Chassam Sofer mentions that. That when HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves the Amim, which means he shines his favor upon the non-Jews, if they can actually rule over the Jews. Still, the holy ones of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Talmid Chachamim, are still in God's hands. So the Chassam Sofer, so we see that they're patur from attacks. So if you look at the Chassam Sofer, and this is a very important Chassam Sofer, source number 25, Daf Ches Amud Aleph. The Chassam Sofer says, V'kal lohovin, the ad kan lo kapach rabbanon el mimas v'choma shemitzad golus Yisrael. That when a rabbanon putter, they're only putter from paying a tax and a choma for the wall, when that's because we're in golus. U'kimashim mikra, the pasuk says that even when you love the nations and the Jews goyim are ruling, not just ruling over us, but kol kadosh should be a decha. He says, still the Talmud Chachamim Potter. Avol shmira kederech shemalchus nishmarim mimalchuyos acherim. But a shmira where a malchus is watching itself from other malchuyos that it shouldn't attack them. Gam talmidei chachamim chayiv. Even a Talmud Chacham is chayiv. So the Rambam says that when are you potter? You're potter when you're in Golus. And therefore, if you're in Golus and the Jews are all worried, the Jews should take care of the Talmud Chacham are potter. However, when you're talking about the Torah situation, where we're living in Eretz Yisrael, we're actually independent, and we're trying to watch over our security, in that situation, he says, that then you're chayiv. K'nemuchach mi Mordechai, as we see from Mordechai, because Mordechai, we know, was a very big Talmud Chacham. He was one of the Gdolei Hador, and he went out to fight in the time of Purim. The Maisim Yerushalmi, as we see from the Yerushalmi, I didn't find Yerushalmi, but the Chasam Sofer certainly says clearly that when you're not in the state of Golus, and even though we are still in Golus, there's no question. However, even though we're still in Golus, we're in a state now of Malchus Nishmar Malchus Acherim Hatan Nechamar Chayim. So the Chasam Sofer says that all these halachas only apply to situation, number one, as I said, where you really believe the Torah is going to protect you, and number two, you also you're in Golus, but in a situation where you're not in Golus, but you're doing something which is normal that you're trying to protect yourselves as every nation does. So then you're Chayiv. Now. Coming back to the Rambam, so I want to finish off the Chasam Sofer and a few other points, but I asked the question that why does the Rambam use the Lashon that Sheva Levi is not Orech Melchama Kishar Am Yisrael? It doesn't say Orech. The Rambam should use the Lashon the Lo Orchem Melchama Kishar Yisrael. About Sheva Levi. Why does he say Kishar Yisrael? So I think again what it means is that when they go to Melchama, Sheva Levi is not treated like the other Jews. In other words, in terms of what duties they have, what they do, they are on a little bit of a higher level. They have a little higher status. But doesn't mean that they go to war, because otherwise, if that's the case, they wouldn't go to war. The Rambam should have mentioned it in Hilchos Malachim. Now, before we go on, I want to mention one more point. And that is in terms of how do we put this all together. So, because we see that the Rambam does not mention, the Gemara does not mention any exceptions. Then the Rambam in Hilchos Medyavel does mention exceptions. And in Melchemes Minyan, we see maybe according to certain Girsa, Sheva Levi didn't go out. So I think the question has to be asked is how many people have to go to war? That's the question you have to ask. In other words, does every Jew go to war? What the Torah is telling us, when you have a war, every Jew as necessary has to go out. When it came to the Muhammad against Midian, we know that every Jew did not go out. How come? Because the Torah says how many Jews went out? 12,000. So where every Jew doesn't go out, then obviously they say Sheva Levi should be left out, according to the Rambam's Girsa. However, if, and according to other Girsas, no, they're still included, but according to the Rambam. So what we're saying is that if not everyone's going to go, but not everyone is needed, that's where there's an exception for Sheva Levi. And that might be where there might be exception for certain Talmud Chachamim. However, as I said, you have to categorize what is a Talmud Chacham. So just to summarize, and I would say that we started off with a problem. The problem was that the Gemara and Rambam says that the Melchemes Mitzvah, everyone goes out. And the status we're in today is definitely a status which is similar to Melchemes Mitzvah because our neighbors want to destroy us. On the other hand, the Rambam seems to imply that Sheva Levi didn't go out to war. So the Rambam used the Lashon that Sheva Levi didn't go to war. So what that means is that Sheva Levi did not go to war like other people. And then we discussed other situations where a Talmud Chacham is parted from taxes. So Talmud Chacham is only parted from taxes maybe in a situation where he believes, tax for Shmir, he believes that he doesn't need the Shmir because of his Torah. Or a Talmud Chacham, if some people are going to be exempt from the army, so that would be, the Talmud Chacham would be the first people to go. That's how we would deal with the contradiction between the Rambam and the Gemara generally says that everyone goes out to war, and the other Gemaras that seem to apply, there definitely are Peturim, and the Chasam Sofer clearly says that the time when we're not in a state of Golus, but we're doing what's something normal for a kingdom to do, then everyone has to go out. Now, I'll just finish off this part of the Shir of the Shal's Tshuva Chasam Sofer. And the Chasam Sofer is dealing with a Shaila that, I guess, when they were living in Pressburg, there were certain, that the Jewish people had to fill a certain quota to send certain people to the, I guess, what was it, the Hungarian army? Was it Hungarian-Russian? So the Slovakian army, they had to fill a certain quota. So the question is, who should go? So the Chasam Sofer says, he says, now, So he says, the Gdol Yisrael, let everyone say what they want to do, because it's a very difficult case, right? And he says, but obviously he says that someone who is, and he says you should decide who should go, whether you have a family, not have a family. And then he says that the Bechurim who are Lomde Torah, even though they're not Pater, the Malchus does not Pater them explicitly, however, they're Pater Midin Torah because of the Gemara Mesachs Vav Basra, that everyone has to help dig the has to help pay for wells. And except, but obviously, if they're digging the wells themselves, Tom the Chum don't go out because they have more dignity than that. And therefore, the Chassam Sofer says, at least in the Slovakian army, Tom the Chum should have been given an exemption. However, as I said, the Chassam Sofer says when we're talking about the Israeli army, I think it will definitely be a different situation. So, what comes out is that if we're going to say there's an exemption. So the exemption has to be for someone, I think, as I mentioned before, who's a very big Talmud Chacham. And then also, it has to be with the idea in mind that the army doesn't need everybody, but the army needs everybody. So then, obviously, how can you have an exemption? I think they're suggesting that there should be an exemption of 1,800 Yeshiva Shev Bachram a year, which actually is in line with the site. What? Is that correct?
Yeah.
So and this is the line how you're going to choose which are 1,800 that deserve to go out that are going to be the future Gdol of Israel. I would not want to sit on that panel. That's all I can tell you. Okay. But that being said, it's very much in line with what we said that if you don't need everybody, so then certain people can be held back. But those who are going to be the real true Talmidei Chachamim, as we spoke about at the beginning of this year. However, I want to just mention that you look in Sefer Shoftim. Sefer Shoftim tells us that yes, in the time of the Shoftim, in the time when there was a Mechemes Mitzvah, Talmidei Chachamim did go out. It's in Shiras Devora, Perek Hey, Pasuk Yudalid. So the Torah says, Mine Ephraim Shorshim Ba'Malek, for Ephraim came those whose roots in Amalek, they fought Amalek. Acharecha Ben Yomim, Ba'Memecha, after you came, Binyamin, Mine Machar Yardu Mechokim, Zvulun Mashkim Veshevet Sefer, and from Machar came down leaders, and from Zvulun came down those who hold the staff. Now, the Mitzudas David there points out that even the Sofrim. Sofrim means really the teachers. Even those who did not know Milchama went out. Now, I don't think it means they went out to war necessarily in Al-Muhammad, but it could be that they filled other positions. In the last situation in Gaza, so there's someone in my shul actually who's a very big Talmud Chacham, and he was gone the whole time. I didn't see him from the time the activity started until it ended. So when he came back, I asked him, I said, were you in Gaza? So he says, no. He said, he had to take the place of someone else who went to Gaza, and he was a computer programmer for the army for those few weeks. So they went out to do things. But if you look at the Radak, Radak is very clear. Umoshkin v'shevet sefer, the Rambam says that the staff, perish ha-chachomim v'asofrim, even the chachomim go out. Even the chachomim go out. So we see that chachomim did go out. And it's all a question, I think, of what's needed. And if there are deferments that are necessary, so, yeah, I guess you don't need everybody. There are deferments. But, everyone has to play a role. And everyone has to do something. And, and when it's Shas Melchama, Melchama's Mitzvah, everyone has to do whatever they can to help the Jewish people. I think when Rav Gusman made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, so he said that, in America, there are also Talmidei Chachamim. He says, but in Eretz Yisrael, even the milkman knows Shas. Who was the milkman? See, he happened to have made Aliyah right before the Yom Kippur War. And the milkman, as I understand the story, was of Aaron Lichtenstein. Because what happened was, I guess he also just come. And the milkman, I guess, went to the front. So Aaron Lichtenstein took his route. So what does that mean? Yes, even Chachamim and Sofrim have to realize that they have a role to fill. That being said, I want to conclude like this. As I said, there might be, if Talmid Chachamim are not needed, so those who become the leaders in Great Talmid Chachamim, there might be a way to say there's an exemption for them. You know, but if you decide, do we need them, not need them, what role do we need to fill? Someone mentioned to me, and I've heard this many times, that, you know, what's going to be if every single Jewish person learns Torah? Does that mean there won't be an army? And the answer was, well, then Mashiach will come, and there won't be need for an army. And this is the Ramban, beginning of Parshas B'chukosai, that the time when the Jewish people will learn Torah, the Torah will protect them, do mitzvahs, we won't need to go to doctors, we don't need to wear parnasa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of everything. This is the Ramban. And it's true. The Ramban does say that. And we know it's true. However, the point is that we're not there yet. We're still going to doctors. And since we're still going to doctors, we have to look at the situation rationally and say, we need an army, and whoever is needed in the army should go. I don't know who's needed in the army. And even when we are learning Torah, even when we are involved in ruchnis and spirituality, we still have to live our life al pi teva. And that comes from this week's Parsha. The Ramban in this week's Parsha. So we asked the question, what was going on with the Meraglim? Meraglim, the Jewish people, Hashem says to them, Shlach lecha, send Meraglim. So why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have a taina against us and we want Meraglim? It was a tzivuy Hashem. Shlach lecha anoshim, sorry, send anoshim. And Ramban says, so Rashi says, L'daitcha, if you want, you can do it. I'm not crazy about the idea. Ramban says, no. It was very normal. They want to invade Eretz Yisrael. They want to invade Eretz Canaan. They want to attack. Everyone who invades a country sends spies to understand where the weak points are, where the strong points are, which country, which part of the area you should conquer first, which area you should conquer last. That's why they did it. So even though they were living a total life of ruchnias, where they were learning Torah, according to Ramban, they still had to act within the laws of Teva. So unfortunately today, I say unfortunately, we're still in a situation where we still have to act within the laws of Teva. And as I said, I think it's clear from the Gemara everybody goes to Mechemes Mitzvah. Everyone goes to Mechemes Mitzvah. And even though there are certain proofs from the Gemara that maybe Tachanim are Pater from certain obligations that they have, however, as the Chassam Sofer says, that only applies in a situation, you know, of gullus, a situation where it's something normal, and also a situation where they're needed, then I think there will be no p'tur. And all the p'turim that we see in the Pesukim are probably based at the time the Jewish people went out to war in the time of the Dor HaMidbar, where not everyone went. When everyone goes, whenever we need everybody, so then there really are no exemptions. And if there are going to be exemptions, so obviously having a certain amount of exemptions who will be able to inspire the Jews and teach the Jews and help the Jews fill a very important role. And whatever that number is, that's really been the laws of the Torah. However, I think what's clear is that whatever is needed should be done. What's needed, that's beyond my purview, I don't know. But I think that these are the sources. And it's important that whenever, you know, as I said, whenever you hear and deal with an issue like this, it's always important to look at the sources before you let your emotions get the best of you. Once you see them, all the sources, then you can ready go of your emotions. Everyone should have a wonderful summer, and we should all hear good news from Eretz Yisrael. Amen.